Hello and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal preview show. I'm your host, Jonathan Doyles. On tonight's show, September the 11th, I'm joined by regular guest Eamon Donnelly to preview this Saturday's Premier League clash against Nottingham Forest under new coach Ange Postecoglou at the Emirates Stadium. And remember, Arsenal v Nottingham Forest is live on TNT Sports and also in the Dublin Arsenal Sports Club bar, the River Bar. So sit back and enjoy the show. I'm glad to be joined by regular guests, Eamon Donnelly, who's just fresh back from the Astro himself. How are you, Eamon? How's the legs?
The legs are okay. I'm not too bad. Good evening, Jonathan. But I met David O'Leary. I brought him in to say hello. He was off doing Chinese cookery class, cooking Chinese to music. Here's what he had to say. He said, as I say, at the end of the day, I had a full Kung Pao chicken and duck done after three songs there at the end of the day. Two by Elton John, no sack of rice. And goodbye, the Yellow Spring Roll. And the last one was Shiwadi Wadi. Let's go for a little walk. So just get on with it, as I say. Anyway, that was Dave. In great form. 723 games for the Arsenal. A legend. Let's hear it from Mr. Dave O'Leary. Right, now, there you
They're
go.
here. The record that is still yet to be broken, appearance wise, so it's quite an incredible feat.
I'm just on Dave before we get into the Forest game. I was absolutely delighted. I mean, there was a bit of a distance between him and the Arsenal when he became manager of other clubs, and he was jumping around the place when Leeds beat us. But I took great delight in being over there a number of years ago and discovering that he was back on match day in his blazer with his cannon, entertaining the crowd and loving it. I was delighted with that, you know. Yeah.
And well deserved. If I'm correct, Eamon, I think he's club ambassador, isn't he, for Arsenal as well? And a great, actually, an all-round nice guy, David O'Leary, as well. He's very he's really friendly to the Arsenal fan base when he goes to talk to him. There's no airs and graces about him. Real, just down to earth pro.
He made 723 appearances for the
Incredible though, Eamon. It's
club.
never talked about. If this was anyone else, they'd be. It's just really. He's just gone under the radar in terms of that, but. I think he deserves a statue in his own right, but we've got the petition going on this show.
There you
If you do
go.
5,000 votes from Adweki, we can get 723,000.
No, I'm going. I told you on the show before, I'm going for Andre Santos for a statue because it's the nearest thing to when he played. A statue with a Kentucky Fried Chicken box in his hand
Was
and
just going to say that the old PFC box from Highbury Road.
the dinner box.
It's
Anyway,
a dinner box.
there we
Enough
go.
about Andrew Santos, but as David O'Leary says, just get on with it. Into our match preview, and as I said, we're playing Nottingham Forest, and they've a new coach in Ange Postecoglou, who won the Europa League with Tottenham Hotspur back in May against Man United. He replaces departed coach Nuno Espirito Santo, who done a really top job. In my opinion, he was sacked this week by the owner, Angelos Marinakis, who seems to be, very gung-ho with foreign managers who do well for them, which is, these are determined nowadays. Of course, they're in the Europa League. They finished play 38, won 19, drew 8, lost 11 with 65 points. Fairly unlucky not to make even the Champions League qualifications. They just burnt out. Really, the end of April into May. Coming to you, Eamon, what do you make of the appointment of Ange Postecoglou?
Well, first of all, I can now say without fear of reprisal, I actually like him. I think he's a breath of fresh air. In terms of how he fronts up to those gutter-snipe journalists who are always trying to take the oil out of your head with a rusty spoon. And to be honest with you, he always fronts up. I remember him, he was being asked, would Tottenham throw the game against Man City? Which a certain South Korean, in my view, did. But not on the manager's orders. I mean, he just looked at the journalist and said, "Oh, come on, mate." And he really, you could see the annoyance in him. It's just not in his DNA. He manages teams to win football matches. He loves the game, and he's a different type of coach. But I'll talk about him in a while because you see, Some people are saying about the manager bounce. I don't think the manager bounce, no, maybe I could eat me words. I don't think the manager bounce is really applicable here, because manager bounces normally happen when you're 10 or 11 games into a season and you're having a dreadful run of form. If you look at what's happened with Forest, Jonathan, they were blistering against Brentford, although I wouldn't read too much into that. I think Brentford are going to struggle. They were very good against Palace, getting a point away from home against a
Yeah,
good, strong
100%.
Palace side. And they were absolutely mulligan against West Ham. But you have to understand, all of that nonsense must have been going on in the background. So I think I look, it's amazing. Nuno himself was sacked by Tottenham.
Yes, that's
No.
correct.
Ange Postecoglou sacked by Tottenham after winning the European trophy and getting Champions League football. But because Tottenham have notions above the station, they think they should be in the top four every year, you know.
It's quite ironic, though. Postecoglou gets appointed by Forest, and Daniel Levy steps down as sports chairman. I say
Yeah.
it, but
I don't know what it is, though. We always seem to play teams
with a new
under
manager,
new management more than anybody else,
we
you
do.
know.
I don't know whether that's just pure fate or
I think when the fixture list is drawn up, I think clubs look at when they're playing Arsenal, and they actually get inspired by Henry VIII. Another way, he used to behead wives. They just, right, there, a little one bit of chop, boom, they off of their heads, you know, and like it's.
it's nonsense, absolutely.
Look, in my living memory, we always seem to be playing teams that, oh, a new manager, you know.
I will agree with you. Over the last few seasons, it just seems to happen
I can remember one game, Jonathan, back in the Vieira Pires days, and I listened to the match on Radio 5, and Stuart Pearce had just taken over from Frank Clark as a caretaker manager, and they actually beat us 2-1 that day. And the funny thing was that Stuart Pearce, the night before the game, he'd never managed a team, and he put
Apparently,
11
he
names
was
on the
player
team
manager
sheet.
that day, Eamon, wasn't he?
He was what?
He was player manager that day, I think,
Player
wasn't he?
manager, yeah, kind of. But he put 11 names on the page and showed it to his wife, and the wife said, "That's great, except for the there was only one problem. You've no goalkeeper."
That
There you go.
is just I think, and like Ange Postecoglou, he just won trophies in his second season, and he stuck to his word with Spurs and then got shown the door. But in terms of their key summer signings, Eamon, O'Mari Hutchinson came from Ipswich for 43 million. Of course, our own Alexander Zinchenko came on loan on deadline day. So did
Yeah.
Douglas Luiz from Juventus. Igor Jesus came from Botafogo, who looked a bit of a striker. James McAtee is actually surprised City let him go. He went for 25 and a
Yeah.
half million. Dan and Di and Angus Gunn, who's the son of Brian Gunn, who played back in the day for Nottingham,
Yeah.
for North City. What do you make of their signings, Eamon, in terms of the incomings? Do you think, in particular, find it to our own Zinchenko, do you think that's a good move for our own Zinchenko? Do you think he'll fit into that type of maybe
Zinchenko's a
style
good
of
player,
play?
and more importantly, he's a good pro. I think he'd do a job anywhere, you know. The problem with Zinchenko at Arsenal was we became a bit predictable down that left-hand side. Everybody knew what we were going to do. I think the manager is trying to mix that up now with the range of options with Nsabi, Calafiori, you know, Moslu, Skelly. But no, I think it's a decent move. The other thing, that there's been a lot of incoming and outgoing movement, and I read somewhere that Nuno had fallen out with the owner over the transfer business, or with possibly with Edu over the transfer business. But Jesus, I mean, they've signed big, you know, and they didn't let much go. They lost Alanga to Newcastle, 60 odd million, but they signed a lot of players. They've a big squad, you know. When you look at Douglas Luiz, I mean, there was a time there, even when we had Declan Rice, and that our people were going into meltdown because we weren't signing Douglas Luiz. He looked a real player at Villa. He lost his way then. I don't know what happened,
Actually,
but
we had to sign him there. the deadline day 2 years ago in the summer window, do you remember? And it just seemed to we were being heavily linked with him, and then all of a sudden it just, I think it was when wasn't when Emery was in charge, I think it was,
No, it was Emery. Emery
was
wouldn't let
Emery
him
in charge.
go.
He wouldn't let him go. Sorry, I knew something like
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
What do you make of James McAtee? He looked a bit of a player for Man City when he got his chance, doesn't
He
he?
does, and I thought he was going to be another one of the Phil Foden types that was going to come through their academy. But if you look at what they've done, I mean, they sold Cole Palmer. I don't know what it is about City. They seem to be intent on scouting the globe for this, that, and the other. But they had Cole Palmer in their hands, like McAtee. I saw him against Ipswich last year, a game that City won 6-0, and he ran that game. But he's a lot to prove. But yeah, they have a good squad for us, you know. And I think what happened to them last season was they actually ran out of squad,
When they
you
got
know.
key in,
But they big pace. Now Alanga was part of that.
he's a big
So
lad.
yeah, I think they'll do all right, you know.
Yeah, in terms, as you said, after their outgoings, I mean, they got a nice fee for Anthony Elanga, €61 million. Danilo went to Botafogo in Brazil for €23 million. Ramon Sousa to Palmeiras for 12.5. At the
Yeah.
urge that Andrew Amendola to Strasbourg.
Sorry,
There's
Jonathan, could you say that name again? It
I really don't want to. I hope to.
it sounds like an eye test. You know when you go in to do an eye test and the opticians? Yeah.
Omo Bamba Daly. I think even with the man flu, it came out all right. And our own Matt Turner, the David Seaman wannabe, went to Lyon for €8 million. So we won't be seeing Matt Turner in the league again. In terms of our previous meetings now, last November at home, we won 3-0. Saka scored a screamer in the in Dele's top left hand corner when he dropped his shoulder and cut in. Thomas Partey got a screamer as well, actually, as well from the edge of the box, and Ethan Wherry wrapped it up. You were at this game, Eamon, weren't you, at this 3-0 home game?
No, I wasn't at that game. That's one of the three home games I missed last season. I think the old band I was playing in were doing a gig that night. I watched that one at home in the house here, you know. Yeah.
What did you make it? Of course, we drew 0-0 then in February away at Forest, who were really good at home. Forest, they were tough to break down. The likes of Mario Milenkovic had a
Yeah.
good record. What did you make of the two meetings against Forest last season, Eamon?
Well, I think the first one came after an international break, and we'd had all of those sendings off and all of those injuries, and that looked like a day where we were going to reset and stabilize. It was a good performance by us. The away game was a very tight game, but Calafiori hit the inside of the post in the first half, and I think if that had rolled in, we'd have beat them handy, you know.
Yeah, that was a big moment in the game, wasn't it? And
Yeah.
that was, we went to Forest with a lot of injuries that night as well. I think that was a midweek game.
It
I
was a
think.
midweek game, but we were in the we've no centre forward or wingers phase, you know.
That's right. If Calafiori scored that, that would put it into the game. Yeah, I think that was a big chance. Yeah. Of course, Nottingham Forest form. Going in, as we said earlier on, their opening day was at home against Brentford under Keith Andrews now, where they won 3-1. Chris Wood got a double, and new signing Ndoye and Thiago got a goal for Brentford. Away from home against Palace, Shadows Park is a tough place to go to under Glasner. Ismaili Sarr scored for Palace, and Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's a really good player, got the equaliser. And of course, the West Ham game, their last game, they got hammered 3-0. Bowen, Paqueta and Callum Wilson on the score sheet. Our key players, I've picked out a few here for at the game on Saturday, which stands out to me. Matt Sells, who I think shared the Golden Glove with our very own David Raya last season. Chris Wood, who got 20 goals in the league last season, which really surprised me. Morgan Gibbs-White, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Elliot Anderson, who was a top signing from Newcastle in the middle there, and the centre back pairing of Milenkovic and Murillo really impressed me. Is there any other players that stand out for you for Forest that would worry you in terms of
Well,
soccer.
I think the ones that you've name checked there, but you see that he hasn't played many of the new signings. I just hope that he doesn't put that thug Ryan Yates in the middle of the pitch. He hasn't been in the team. But Murillo had two serious games against us last season. He
Put
really
his
did.
body on the line, didn't he? Yeah, he's.
He was unbelievable, you know. With Chris Wood around the place, you'd like to have Saliba there, you know.
Or
But we
physically.
don't, you know.
Are you surprised Eamon as Chris Wood getting to the 20-goal mark before Arthur? But you think their style of play under Nuno Santos suited him, in terms of the delivery he was getting? He's a bit of a pace as well, Chris Wood, isn't he?
A lot of their goals were counter-attacks, but
Yeah.
I think he's the type that thrives on counter-attack, tap-in finish across the box, headed goals from set pieces and so. He's a good player. He's good control of the ball, you know.
Yeah, there was one standout game last season for them, Eamon, when they won 7-0 at home against Brighton at the start of February. That's when they kind of peaked, I think, because they kind of fell off a bit of an edge of a cliff, didn't they? They reached their, that day, and they kind of didn't go. They were kind of scraping results after that. Well,
But
as you said,
they
typical
won
pace.
at Anfield last year as well.
<Yeah.
They
laughs>
beat Liverpool in Anfield, you know.
And that result, Eamon, at Anfield rocked Arne Slot. Liverpool woke up that day, didn't they? That you never saw another really performance, really, you could say that bad again after that. But
I
first,
think I think for I think Forrest that day tactically outmaneuvered Liverpool, soaked them up. You see, the thing about Ange is, first of all, I'm not too well up on the sacking of Nuno in terms of did the backroom staff stay on or did they go with him? Because Ange can't set up a team to sit deep. He just can't. But
and
will it
I
be
know
Ange?
there's
But will it
certain.
be Ange on Saturday? No, it won't.
You're not
It'll
thinking
be
that
the
you don't.
coaching structure. It'll be the coaching structure. He's only there 4 days, you know.
On Twitter now, Nottingham Forest fans are on about here. They're worried that if he brings that style of play, and with Spurs nearly, they really did sacrifice the league for to win the Europa League. I think last season Spurs. You think if he played that kind of expansive football that he plays, would Nottingham Forest fans have the right to feel worried that he'd be dragged into a relegation battle, or do you think
But
he'd?
I think they've got enough players to go on the front foot in games.
Yeah.
I don't see why they can't go on the front foot in games. I mean, the Forest tradition, for younger listeners who wouldn't remember the incredible achievement. I mean, they came up from the old second division, now the championship, in 77, 77. And they won the league in the fourth season. They won the top flight in the fourth season under Brian Clough, with a really swashbuckling team, a mixture of young fellas like Tony Woodcock and then older fellas, Archie Gemmell and that. But they played really, really clever football. I remember they beat Everton 4-1 on the first day of the season, and everybody was kind of thinking, well, there's the flash in the pan out of the way. And they led the league from start to finish. An incredible achievement. I mean, just to put that into context, Jonathan, that'd be like Burnley winning the league this season.
A big one of an achievement, Eamon, in your opinion, when Nottingham Forest won the European Cup back to back.
I think
Who would you
Nottingham
put
Forest
that in?
winning a league title and two European Cups back to back, to me, is the greatest achievement by any manager in British football.
You put it that highly.
I would, yeah. It'd be like Burnley winning the Premier League this year. Right, and that's no disrespect to Burnley. Burnley, a promoted team, previous top flight experience, up and down, up and down. They come up this year, they win the Premier League, and then they go and win two Champions Leagues. That's the extent of the achievement.
It's
You
an incredible
know.
team. You remember them, your two European Cup finals as well,
Oh, we
Eamon.
do remember that team well. I mean, I was in an era where I was 12 years of age that
Yeah.
season, and I was playing competitive football, so I loved the game. I was a real I lapped up the game. I love that Forest team. In fact, during COVID, I spent a lot of time watching 70s football just to kind of pass the evenings. And but I watched a lot of that Forest team. They were outstanding, you know.
Yeah, the
By
likes
the
of
way,
John.
just Mr. Clough had won a title a few years earlier with Derby County. I mean,
The Damned United is the best friend of mine. Watched
Damned
over what?
United, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
But they're bitter rivals, and yet there's a statue outside both grounds.
Yeah, not many men can honor. Yeah, this.
Yeah. I don't think Spurs had ever put a statue of George Graham up, you
I'm
know.
hoping they stick one of ours and winger up as
What were Spurs thinking of appointing George Graham of all people, like, you know?
well. Well, I suppose you could say that about the
What
umpteen
do you
manager.
suppose appointing Glenn Hoddle as the manager? You know?
One day Ramos, four games gone.
Yeah, one day is right.
Christian Gross is probably the best as well. The surname said it all about
Oh,
him.
I remember Christian Gross's first interview. I'm really excited because I have a ticket for the underground. Remember that? He took out an Oyster card or something like that, or a travel the weekend travel card. I've got the ticket for the underground. You know, like Jesus Christ. If I was a sports fan looking at that, I actually that's something I would have got a petition for, you know.
You didn't pay for that pink travel card, or you
Yeah.
yeah, they've had some beauties as managers forward, yeah, but thankfully we're not in that ourselves as the Arsenal. We stick by them through thick and thin. In terms of the injuries coming into the game, aiming for ourselves first of all, Bukayo Saka, Ben White, Christian Ødegaard, Gabriel Jesus, who looks kind of more
I
long
think
term.
Ben White's back.
You think that Ben White's way back,
I
yeah?
think Ben White's back, yeah.
Kai Havertz and William Saliba. Could William Saliba feature in this game or Bilbao, do you think?
No, well, William Saliba won't feature. I don't think William Saliba will feature in October.
You don't think so, no?
No.
Okay.
And I have another sneaky worry. Mosquera didn't play for the Spain under-21s in the second game.
Right.
Despite the fact that he played the full 90 as captain in the first game, I don't like the sound of that, you know.
Yes, well, yes. I
The
mean,
only thing is, we're well stocked in there, you know.
yeah, that's one thing in defense we are in. And yeah, there's a lot of players that can play. It's like Rice and Miles Lewis, Sketty or Ricardo Calafiori can fit in quite nicely, yeah. Olaena, Nicolo Savona, and Lucas.
Aina, yeah, I think he's a bit of a
He's a
miss
big
for them,
loss,
you
isn't
know.
he? He's a big loss as a fullback,
Yeah,
isn't he? Yeah, I
yeah.
think he had a great season. So I think he was a Chelsea youngster as well, if I'm right there, Olaena. And Nicolas Dominguez, of course, is out as well. In terms of the match aiming, being at the Emirates as well, fourth game back after the international break, there's another block, four games, and then we're back into another one. Would you be confident of a victory on Saturday, even though there could be a bounce effect of Postecoglou being in charge?
I don't think it's anything to do with Postecoglou. I think it's down to what kind of condition have our players come back in.
Yeah,
We're,
that's true.
we we have better players than every other team in the Premier League, with the possible exception of Liverpool. Possible, right? And you know we do, right? And we're very, very strong, really strong. But it depends on what kind of condition we have our players in. I see. If it was a Postecoglou team, they wouldn't sit deep. But I'm not sure what way they're going to set up, so it's hard to call. It can't be a Postecoglou team after 4 days. I mean, given that they have 16 internationals in their squad as well, so they were
Yeah.
all off somewhere, you know. So he's not seen those players on Thursday, so today, you know. So.
And of course,
I don't know. I hate making predictions because I'm absolutely like, if I backed horses, they wouldn't just not win, they'd actually die. There'd be screens around them, you know.
be going on strike every week.
They'd shoot my horses. But look, I just have a sneaky feeling we're hard to score against, Jonathan, you know.
Yeah, we've a solid enough centre back. Yeah, our defence last season and the season before, you can see Arteta, tight defence, and you've a chance of winning the league. Is it like at Man City when he was?
When you won't win the league with a loose defence,
Yeah,
you need to
no,
score goals. You need, no, you need,
I
you need, you need, you need to score goals, but you
and keep
also,
them
you know. So look,
out.
I'm gonna call it a 3-1.
Yeah, it's a good show, Damien. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably a good time to play for us as well with a new coach in a trained way. Because he was quite fortunate to have the likes of Romero and Van de Ven. They had pace at centre back, but looking at Milenkovic and Murillo aren't that, ready to for that side of system, I don't think. But yeah, look, a home victory on Saturday will be quite nice going into Manchester City next Sunday, bring a bit of confidence, with about 5 odd 10 minutes left of the show, two players that played for both, Super
Yeah.
Kev Campbell, who sadly passed there, he was a
Super
legend.
Kevin Campbell, yeah.
Ian
Yeah,
Wright,
super.
David Platt.
David Platt did, yeah. Well, the standout one for me is Tony Woodcock.
Yeah. A good was he for
Tony
Nottingham Forest.
Wood, Jonathan, you need to go into YouTube and you need
I
to
remember you
watch.
sending me a few of these videos, and
No, you need to go into YouTube and you need to just look up Nottingham Forest 1978 YouTube, and you'll see a few highlights reels, and you'll see how good Woodcock was. He was unplayable, right?
who would you compare to in this modern day football, Eamon, as who would you go close to?
He wasn't a centre forward. He was a, he played as a second striker, but he was brilliant with his back to goal. He blistering pace and he good imagination, right? That particular team had a fella who, when Clough took over, he was about 3 stone overweight, smoking fags and drinking whiskey. A Scottish fella called John Robertson. He was
Yeah, I
in the
remember.
middle of the pitch, right? And Clough put him out on the wing. How do you put a fella who's built like,
He
busting a
was
blood
thin.
vessel out on the wing?
Yeah.
But Robertson got his act together and turned out to be, I would say, in his time, the best left-sided player in the world. He was that good. So they're a superb team. But Woodcock was very good at the Arsenal. Really good. He was top scorer for 3 seasons in a row. When George Graham came in 1986, he made a decision that he wanted to get high earners off the books and he wanted to create a young, hungry team. And Woodcock kind of became... He also played in Cologne,
That's right,
and he's loved over there. He's a mad head in him, but he does. He won stuff for Forest. He didn't win that with us. But he actually played more games for us, and he has a big affinity. He has a big love for the Arsenal, Tony Woodcock. So
I remember you had
he'd be my
that
standout.
mullet of hair like Tony Woodcock, didn't you, back in the 70s?
Yeah, it's quite quality. But have a look. I'd say to any of the listeners, if you want, if sit down with a can of beer and just look up Nottingham Forest 1978, and you'll see how excited they were to watch. They went to Old Trafford at Christmas, and they put four on United,
There's a
and they absolutely.
documentary, sorry, Eamon, BT Sport on, it's now TNT, as we all know. I Believe in Miracles, it's called, that covers both European
Yeah.
Cup. And they were absolutely unbelievable. Peter Shilton, they had in goal.
But in
What
the
a.
European Cup, it's a different type of football, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at them on a sticky pitch in Old Trafford, Christmas 1977, and they absolutely shredded United, shredded them, and with brilliant stuff, But yeah, Tony, Aaron Ramsey played for Bolton as well, didn't he?
That's right, Carl Jenkinson,
Oh, Jesus.
Henry Lansbury,
Yeah, Henry Lansbury, yeah.
Matt Turner,
Yeah.
the other ones that didn't really make it. The play by Ian Wright and Kevin Campbell will probably be the
Viv
standout ones.
Anderson was another big player for us.
Viv
Viv Anderson. Yeah,
Anderson,
Viv
well, a
Anderson
centre back.
was on that 78, 79 team, and he came to us, and he was a he George Graham kept hold of him when we won the League Cup in 87.
That's
Viv was
right.
on the team, yeah.
He was pretty fond of Viv Anderson as well, wasn't he?
Yeah,
You
yeah.
know, I
And then he
remember
went to United. So I just
that's when he went, his
he was
career.
lost to me then.
remember reading Roy Keane's book. He says when he was at Nottingham Forest under Brian Clough, he said he made one mistake in the match and at half time Brian Clough went over to him, slapped him in the face. He says, "Don't ever do that book again." And Roy Keane says, "I never made another mistake under Brian Clough."
No,
Brian Clough
absolutely.
had a way with him, though, Eamon, hadn't he? That he didn't take any messing, but the players still loved him. He had that. Him and Peter Taylor, his assistant, they were a perfect pairing, weren't they, as coaches?
Inside, Brian Clough was a family man, and he looked after players. They loved him because he looked after them and he cared about them. And one of the things that drove him to drink in later life was he signed John Fashanu's older brother, Justin,
Oh, that's the
and
last one.
£1 million off Norwich. And he couldn't work out why Justin wasn't funded together. He didn't realise that Justin had his own issues with sexuality, all of that type of stuff at a time when it was very difficult for people if they were homosexual. And he ended up taking his own life. And Brian Clough said that his schooling was that he was a traditional family man, and his thinking wasn't advanced enough to understand what that kid was going through. That drove him to drink, you know?
That's actually a very interesting fact. I mean, I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, two things drove him to drink, and I know this because he used to let one particular Nottingham journalist on the bus, you know, because he liked him, even though he called him shitface, right? Which is a great book, but the incident, the not understanding Justin Fashanu and the fact that Taylor went back to Derby and wanted Clough to come with him, and Clough wouldn't go, and Clough felt betrayed by that, and he never spoke to Taylor again. Then Taylor had a sudden heart attack and died. You know, so that
Never
he never
forget.
made his peace with Taylor, and he never understood Justin Fashanu's problems, and that had a big effect on him. In fact, Nigel Clough, his son, is a very interesting guy.
Yes, that, and he's had a similar type of management thing, hasn't he? Where he's bought, lesser clubs to being known out, i.e.,
Yeah,
Burton
Burton
Albion.
Albion,
Had a stint as manager at Nottingham Forest, which was quite nice. The father and son thing, it's, but what, I have to say, Brian Clough, what a legend, for any football fan of that generation.
To me, he's the greatest, you know?
You strongly believe that, Eamon, yeah? And do you believe that he would have been a great England manager?
Well, if they'd have given me the job. Blazers were afraid to
Down,
give
have you, sir?
the Blazers were afraid to give him the job, you
Yeah,
know.
I'm afraid.
It was too risque, you know.
I'd say
But
I loved his post-match interviews. He was absolutely a comedian. We couldn't know. He was brilliant. He really
great
was.
one. There's a great one when Muhammad Ali calls him out for being a bigger mouth than him, and they say, what are you going to do, Brian? Well, I'm going to fight him. What can you do?
He was brilliant, though, wasn't he? He was just witty, yeah.
Ah, class.
Can I ask you, Eamon, particularly of the Arts and Nottingham Forest games, either at the Emirates or in the old Highbury Stadium, what was your favourite fixture and goal, can you remember, that stood out for you in either ground?
Actually, I thought about the goals and my favourites, and actually, two of them came in the City Ground. One was by Frank Stapledon in the 1979 FA Cup fifth round, which was played midweek because of bad weather, you know, at the weekend. But they went on to win the European Cup that year. They were league champions. We went up there. Liam Brady would have never got the Brady Cup final if we didn't win up there. And Liam himself put in a cross from a free kick, and it just landed on my head, and I headed it, and it went into the net. Frank, oh, great goal. And that was a massive win. I remember never expecting to win. We went on to win the FA Cup, so I love that goal. The other one, in 88, 89, the year we won the title at Anfield, I remember. We played them around October on a Sunday afternoon when ITV had started televising matches live, and we were under real pressure. I think we went one down, and we got a few Adams bowled connections, and you know, but we were 3-1 up, and they were putting pressure on us, and we broke away. And Brian Marwood got a breakaway goal, you know, and we beat them 4-1. And I remember saying to myself, do you know what? This young team that we have is going places. And we won the title at Anfield. And then the other goal was the start of the 23-24 season. Bukayo Saka, take it out with
That
that.
even put that turn Matt Turner off goalkeeping completely after that day.
What I love about that goal is, do you remember we had Conor McNamara on the program, and he was describing Saka as a from the perspective of a commentator, and he said the problem with commentating on Saka is you know what he's going to do, he just does it before you know it, you know, and that's what he did that day. You know, people know he's going to shovel it in on his lip, but his thought process is so quick. It's you can't defend against it, you know.
I just have to say, we're running a bit out of time. I'd just like to thank him and Danny for coming on the preview show tonight, Paul. Much appreciated your insight and great memories down memory lane there. That's our show on Spotify, and check out the River Bar this Saturday for all the action.
I'll be at the
Good
game
night.
myself, Jonathan. So come on, you Gunners. All right.